In place of the call to worship, I wanted to read to you a letter that we received today with a gentleman that is heading up the PNG Bible Project. He, unbeknownst to us, was involved in a serious robbery that took place in Papua New Guinea recently. Said they were on the road. They were in the process of traveling between the National House of Parliament in Port Moresby, and they were headed back to a Baptist church where they were supposed to meet with several pastors. It said six masked men armed with guns and long knives came running out of the bushes screaming, "Get down." They were being robbed at gunpoint. By the time it was over with, we were praising God that no one was hurt, but we had lost our cell phones, our wallets, an iPad, and our car. It was rather strange to be standing in the middle of the street watching our car being driven away and no way of getting help. I turned to the pastors who were with us at that time, who were ordered out of the car, and he said, "I'm thankful that Romans 8:28 is still in effect." The other pastor, Pastor Mendy, turned and said to him, "Do you know, Pastor, if those young men had been given Bibles in school, they might not have done this." I couldn't help but think, we here today, on the second floor of the Imogene, all have copies of the Scripture. And yet, there are places around the world that don't have copies of the Scripture. And these young men had grown up, evidently, without any knowledge of the Word of God. And it didn't bother them to rob and steal and take everything that belonged. Thankfully, they left the men alive. But what a point was made by one of the pastors there. You know, his first thought was, if we can just get the gospel to them. Why? Because the gospel changes lives. It changes lives. It changes the way you live. And so I wanted to share that with you to realize that the PNG Bible Project is not without its difficulties. And we want to pray that God would break through, that there would be no holdups in the printing of these Bibles, and that they would make it to their destination, and that the gospel would be given to these individuals. Would you turn with me, please, inside your program to Crown Him with Many Crowns. Crown Him with Many Crowns, number 43 for those using the hymn books. Would you sing with me, "Crown Him with Many Crowns, the Lamb upon His Throne"?
His glories thou receive. death may die.
On the fourth stanza now, without the instrument, singing a cappella style, on the fourth stanza, crowning the Lord of heaven.
Crowning the Lord of heaven.
Time that we can be together as a church family. We thank you for the opportunities that we have to study thy word, to sing these matchless praises to your holy and worthy name. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would bring us into an attitude and understanding of worshiping thee, that we would give our full attention to the singing of these hymns and the opportunity we have to study your word together. Father, we pray today for our country. Lord, as we approach Tuesday and the final day of elections after almost 2 years of nonstop political influences and commercials and radio programs, it comes to an end. But really, it's just the beginning of new administrations, new people. I pray that you would help us to trust in thee. We pray for our country at this time. We are in desperate straits. We're a country who has turned our backs upon thee. We're a country that we don't like the direction that we're going, but we're not willing to come to thee. Father, we pray for an awakening to come upon our land. We pray that the word of God would go forth in power in pulpits across America, that you would be pleased to pour out your Holy Spirit upon this land. And we pray, Father, that you would work in the elections. We pray that your will would be done. We pray that our country would remain stable and would not decline into infighting and bickering and war. We pray, Father, for your will to be done and that there might be a turning to thee. Father, we pray for those who could not be with us today because of sickness or illness. We pray for them. Pray that your hand of healing would be upon them. And we ask, dear Father, that you would help us to honor and glorify thee today. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's look over to 380, which is the next page. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith, where? In His excellent word. How firm a foundation. Lean for repose. Stanza four first, then the instruments will drop out on stanza five.
Thank you.
thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. It's number 53 in the hymn book, second page inside of your bulletin there. Let's sing together on the first, second, and third stanza, and then the fifth stanza. So first, second, and third, and then the fifth stanza. Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. I want to read to you the first 12 verses of Scripture as we look at the Lord's continuing ministry after His incursion into Gentile territory. As we said, the Lord Jesus Christ was the pioneer missionary. He was the one that carried the gospel not only to the Jew, but also to the Gentiles. And we looked last week at that remarkable feeding of the 4,000 where the majority of those that were gathered were not Jews. They were Gentiles. They were from all kinds of ethnic backgrounds. And it was Jesus Christ who proclaimed the gospel to them as well. I want to read verses 1 through 12 here as we pick up the story, but I want to begin with verse 39 of the previous chapter because it tells us where our Lord has come and to whom He is speaking. Verse 39 of chapter 15 says, "And He sent away the multitude and took ship and came into the coast of Magdala." Now we're on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. We're on the western shore now of the Sea of Galilee. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desiring Him that He would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, "When it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And He left them and departed. And when His disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Now just notice this. This is the same group of men who have been present for the feeding of the 5,000 plus and the 4,000 plus. And here they are. They don't have bread again. And the Lord Jesus says to them, Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they look at each other and say, It's because we forgot the bread. All right? Now, you talk about totally tone deaf to spiritual truth, but that was His disciples. Now, lest we point a finger and say, you know, I just don't understand those disciples. In many ways, we are the same way. In many ways, we're the same way. We're facing an election, and many are wringing their hands. We have people saying, if one candidate gets elected, I'm moving to Australia. Another says, if the other candidate gets elected, I'm going to go to Canada, where they have free health care. These are the voices of those that don't have an anchor. Amen? They don't have an anchor. For the Christian, whatever the outcome, we still have the Lord Jesus Christ. We still have the bread of life. We still have the Lord of the universe, the One who is in charge, the One who will soon return to take us to be with Him. So no matter what happens on Tuesday, we don't need to worry. But here are these disciples. He says to them, Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And immediately said, It's because we forgot the bread. That's why He's bringing this up. He's trying to needle us because we forgot again. No. They miss the spiritual truth. Please don't miss the spiritual truth when God's Word is open. Verse 9. Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets he took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets he took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spoke it not to you concerning bread, real, literal bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that He bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. The light comes on. And they realize and understand, He's not talking about literal bread. He's not getting on to us because we forgot the bread. He's warning us. He's warning us. Why is He warning them? Who was waiting for Jesus when He got back from His Gentile trip? All the religious leaders are there. They're waiting for Him in the little hamlet of Magdala. It's amazing that they all gathered there. Evidently, they had spies that had seen Him get into the ship, and they watched His track as He went across so they could see where He was going, and they all gathered there to wait for Him to get there. And they're not there to welcome. They're not a welcoming party. They're there to trip him up and to destroy him. They want him to perform a sign from heaven. Now just think for just a moment. How many miracles has the Lord Jesus Christ done to date in our study of the book of Matthew? Is it not enough to see the blind healed where they can see? The dumb that could not speak, they're able to speak now. They're able to give a verbal testimony after years of not being able to speak. We've had dead people brought back to life. The widow of Nain's son is healed, been brought back. Jairus' daughter has been healed. We've seen wonderful demonstrations of power over and over again. We've seen over 5,000 people fed, over 4,000 people fed, and they said, we're not convinced yet. Let me just say this. The wicked heart that refuses to hear the Word of God will never be convinced. That's how people are convinced. It's by hearing. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. And so these men have not come to worship the Lord. They've come to seek to destroy Him. And so they said, we want a sign from heaven. We want a miracle. Why don't you make the sun stand still? I'm sure they went down a list of all the things that had happened in Old Testament times. Surely He can repeat one of those. Let's have the sun. Remember whenever it stood still? And the Israelites were able to continue fighting until they had defeated their enemies because of the miracle that God had performed. Oh, why don't you do something miraculous? Make a star appear in the heavens. Kind of like it did when you were born. Or have some kind of show. Make the moon turn red as blood. Then we'll believe you. Would they have believed Him if He had given them what they wanted? Absolutely not. They were not in the faith world. They were in the works world. And while they abided there, there was nothing that if He had turned the moon red, if a star had appeared in the heavens, if the sun had stood still, or the earth stood still actually, and the sun had remained the same, they still would not have believed. They were trying to get Him to fit their agenda. Now let's just stop for just a moment. Lest we say, oh, those wicked, terrible Pharisees and Sadducees. Let me tell you something. This plays out every day all around the world where people try to fit God into their agenda. They've got plans. They've got, this is what I want to do. I want to accomplish this. I want to buy that. I want to get this. I want to go here. I want to go there. And God never figures into any of that. There's no seeking God's face. That is a life of the flesh. That's the same thing as what the Pharisees and the Sadducees were doing. You know, new evangelicals and a lot of these convergents that are out there and these new Calvinists are always accusing people who take the Bible literally and seek to obey God's Word. They always call us Pharisees. Or they call us legalists. They love to throw that word around. You're being legalistic. Wait a minute. To be legalistic means that we believe that you can be saved by keeping the law. It's not what we're saying at all. What we're saying is God expects obedience from His children. He said that. If ye love me, keep my what? Where are His commandments located? Right here. And yet many times we try to fit God into our agenda. That's exactly what they were wanting Him to do. And what did Jesus say? He answered and said unto them, verse 2, when it is evening, ye say. They wanted a sign from heaven, so He gave them one. But it wasn't what they were expecting. He was using an old adage that's been around for thousands of years about how to determine the weather. How many of you have used a red sky at night to determine what's going to happen? Yeah. How many of you have used a red sky in the morning? Yeah. What's the old saying? Yeah, red in the morning, sailor take warning. Red sky at night, sailor's delight. All right, I remember hearing that when we were growing up. Now, that's a good way to discern what's going to happen, and it's true for the most part, unless you got a dust storm coming, right? Aunt Carolyn can probably tell us a little stories about that, where they had the big lowering red sky, and it was a dust storm that was coming. And he says to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? Now, here's the picture. They were good at figuring out the weather by looking at the sky. They could read the sky and come up with an answer. But when it came to reading the times in which they were living in, the times of Jesus, the Messiah who had come, had been prophesied in the Old Testament, He's standing there right in front of them, they can't see Him as the Lord Jesus Christ. They refuse to see Him as the Lord Jesus Christ. They want nothing to do. They want to discredit Him. They refuse to see because they didn't have eyes of faith. They did not have eyes of faith. Now let's go on here. What is He saying to this generation? These religious leaders that have met Him at Magdala, that have come all the way up from Jerusalem again, they're going to take Him. They're going to try to discredit Him. He says to them, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Wow. He doesn't talk to them and say to them, you know, you're just misdirected people. So what we need to do is have a kumbaya meeting here. Let's all get together, all right? By the way, that's what they were having there. They were joined at the hip singing kumbaya, waiting for Jesus to come, because they were going to attack Him. And Jesus didn't join the group. He didn't go in with this religious crowd and say, all right, what we need to do is just come to an understanding. Let's come to a consensus. That's not how you get to truth. You never find truth in trying to get with a group of people and coming up with a consensus. That's tried in all kinds of churches all across America this morning. They're all gathered around and they're all, what's your opinion about this? What's your idea about this? What do you think about this? And they get into these endless debates and squabbles and talking and all that kind of stuff, and they're not learning what? The verities of God's Word. And Jesus said, you're a wicked and adulterous generation that seek after a sign. Well, that's not very nice. Well, Jesus, you're supposed to be nice to us. If you're mean to us, we'll take you down. Oh, you can hear them, their minds working now. Oh, how rude. Doesn't He know who we are? We're the religious leaders from Jerusalem. We deserve respect. And He's called us wicked and adulterous. Ha! Scoffing at Jesus Christ. Wicked. First of all, lawless. That's the word that's used there. Lawless. For you doctors of the law, you're lawless. And not only that, you're adulterous. What does an adulterer do? They cheat. A husband that is an adulterer is cheating on his wife. He's leaving the marriage bond and he's committing iniquity and he's not holding the marriage bond in high regard. Now, they were supposed to be married to Jehovah. They were supposed to be married to Him, the children of Israel, God's people, as they were called. But He said, you religious leaders, you're not following after God. You're not following after Me. You have left Me to follow your own traditions and your own ideas of religion. So the Lord Jesus Christ calls them out for what they are. And when He left them and departed, He doesn't have an invitation. He doesn't say, would y'all like to come forward and get things right? No, He leaves them. Oh, He just missed an opportunity. No, He didn't, because He knew what He was dealing with. He was dealing with the hardened hearts of those who wanted nothing to do with truth. And when His disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And so the Lord Jesus Christ uses that as a stepping stone to talk to the inner circle. Now, by the way, what individual is within this group still? who's not a believer? Judas. All right? So he has the 12 gathered around him. They forgot to get bread when they were in town in Magdala. So they're now working their way out. Eventually, in verse 13, we find they move their way back up into Caesarea Philippi, a Gentile city. A Gentile city that had been named after Caesar by the Romans. So they leave there after the response that Jesus gets, and they start working their way up to Caesarea Philippi, and they realize we forgot to get bread. We forgot to get something to eat. Now, I want to tell you something. I've learned something about these disciples. Don't trust them to bring dinner. Now, I want you to know something. We brought dinner today. All right? They're downstairs working on it right now. So we brought dinner today. But the Lord Jesus was disappointed on more than one occasion by His disciples who forgot to bring dinner. Have you ever done that? Have you ever thought dinner was going to be ready at home? And you worked all day long and you walked in there, "What's for dinner?" "Oh, I didn't fix dinner tonight." "What?" Okay. Or you hear this, "Let's go out to eat," and you go to your favorite restaurant and it's closed. All right? What's going on here? Maybe the Santa Rosa County Health Department closed them down or whatever. That happened to a couple of local restaurants here in town of recent time. But you know, you've been disappointed. All right? And Jesus said, "I'm going to use this as a stepping stone. I'm going to teach my men that they need to beware." And I want to say this morning. I want you to beware of the times in which we live. Don't put your trust in religion. All right? Religion will kowtow to the devil every time. So your hope better be in the Lord. You better be trusting in Him. You better hear and believe. That's the picture here. Disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We're going to conclude with this thought. These disciples were wrapped up in the here and now. Do you not see that in this passage? He's telling us this. He's needling us because we forgot the bread. What were they thinking of? Was their mind at all on spiritual things? Not at all. Their mind was not thinking, you know, the Lord is trying to communicate a truth to us about what just happened at Magdala. No, not them. We forgot the bread. That's why He's saying that. Let me just end with this thought, folks. We have to be careful in the times in which we live that we miss the truth that God wants us to have. There's so much in this book. Is it not an amazing thing that whenever you sit down to study God's Word, there's always something fresh there? I've never been disappointed. I don't understand people that say, "I just don't understand the Bible." Let me tell you something. There's something there for the child of God. There's something there for the ear that has faith, willing to hear what God has to say. He's always there to feed. But these disciples weren't thinking in that realm. They will soon. They will soon. The testimony of most of them will be that they die martyrs' deaths because they heard what God had to say. But they had to grow up. They had to learn to listen to God's Word. Their focus that day was on forgetting the meal. Their focus should have been was on what Jesus Christ was feeding them spiritually. Let me encourage you today, as we approach Tuesday and the election and those days beyond, get your eyes up, as Pastor Watt was saying. Don't have your eyes looking down at the mess that's down here. Get your eyes upon the glories of God's Word and the glories of your Savior, who is all in all. He is the fullness, the Bible says, of the Godhead bodily. And He's your advocate and He's my advocate right now. So, let me encourage you. Don't be like the disciples. Don't have your heads down thinking about, you know, He's getting on our case because we forgot the food and missed the whole thing. The light came on at the end. It should have been on when? At the beginning. Let's not be tardy Christians in this sense, showing up late to God's Word. Let's get it the first time. Let's let God's Word speak to our hearts and let us grow in the knowledge of truth. Jesus Christ is not well received at Magdala, so He goes back north again. We'll get into that, Lord willing, next time. And I want to emphasize again the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because this is an important truth, Lord willing, we'll get into in our next service time. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, we thank You for the Word of God. Lord, it's our anchor in a world that's adrift. Our society is crumbling because we've rejected the Bible. Our nation is at odds. We're trying to solve problems without the truth of Thy Word, and they can't be done. We're seeking to have more of this world as Christians, but that can't be done either, because then we're crossing Thee, our Father. And You won't let us as Your children get away with that. I pray, Father, that we might be alert Christians, that we might understand that our Savior, as He faced His enemies and as He confronted them and angered them with His words of truth, so we will face the very same things in the times in which we live. People will get angry because they hear the truth and they won't want anything to do with it. Help us, Father. Help us, Lord, not to be weak in our testimony, but help us to be strong and to take up our places to hold the light of Your Word high in the times in which we live. And Father, I pray that we would not be weak as the disciples and miss the truth that You have for us. Lord, You want us to grasp Your Word and be able to take it and put it into practice in our daily lives. But Lord, if we're not paying attention, we're not listening, we're not learning from Your Word, then we won't have what we need to grow up and become mature Christians. We'll be doomed to drink milk rather than eat the meat of Your Word. Father, I pray that You would do a work among Your people. I pray that we might appreciate this passage of Scripture. It's so rich with truth. And Lord, as we look forward to the message next time, if it be Thy will and You tarry, to realize what the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees is, that same leaven is still at work today. I pray that You would do a work in our hearts and lives today. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you turn to the back of your program, please? I believe it's the last song that's there. It's a song we've sung many, many times at the end of church services, but I want you to look at the words. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't want His way, did they? But I hope you desire it. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Who sets the agenda for our lives? The potter does. A clay jar doesn't say, I don't want to be a clay jar. I want to be something else. I got my own plans. I got my own diet. No. The potter takes the clay and makes what he wants with the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Would you sing with me, please?
Have Thy own
search me and try me, Master, today. What are we asking Him to search us and try us concerning? Whether we're doing our own agenda or whether we're doing His. We need to be searched, do we not? Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in Thy presence, humbly I bow. This will be our last stanza.
Have Thy own
thank you for this time together. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, so many times we hear your word and it seems to go in one ear and out the other. It doesn't take root in our heart like it ought to. That was how the disciples were that day at Magdala. As they were confronted by the religious leaders from Jerusalem, they left that scene not weighing what had just taken place, but rather were concerned because they'd forgot lunch. Lord, I pray that you'd help us not to be so earthly minded that we're no heavenly good. I pray that you would help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of thy might. And help us, Father, to know your word inside and out, to delight in feeding upon your word, to go in and out of your word and find pasture. Oh, what a blessing it is to be students of your word. And I pray, Father, that you would work among your people today. We might take to heart this illustration from history. We might understand its import to our hearts today. We pray now your blessing upon our time together as we partake of our meal. We also pray, dear Father, that you'd bless the afternoon service as well. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.